Good evening and welcome to the Yellow Dog Sangha. So nice to see all of you. Such sweetness to sit with such a group. Nothing like it. So thank you.
You want to do a sound check for the Zoom?
Zoom people, can you hear us? All right, great. Okay. Well, going to talk tonight about the best of times and the worst of times. Whew. What to do with those worst of times? That's a question that we all have to ask ourselves. How to live peacefully with the worst of times. And Jack Kornfield, many of you know, he's our teachers who worked tirelessly for over 40 years to help us wake up. And he said a couple of days ago, I read, he said, in troubled times, we have to go back to the basics. The heart of our practice, the power of mindfulness. You think, oh, is there power in that? Oh, yeah. It's not the power that we think of, but there's so much more of us as individuals in the moment than we've ever been. At least I could say that for myself. But he said, mindfulness is big enough to hold it all. And the Buddha said, there's a wonderful way for living beings to overcome grief and sorrow, to end pain. Promises. And even anxiety. So to travel the path of compassion and understand, to realize liberation. Waking up. Mindfulness enables us to do that, as you well know. And our intention here at Yellow Dog is to learn how the best ways to live in the present moment. And that's where the deep happiness begins and grows, where really we live life completely. The whole body awareness. Because we've been conditioned to go to the mind. And as a result, we haven't paid attention to the whole body. So, if we're in our minds, we're always conceptualizing. That means we are making it up, more or less. Or we've got a dialogue going on of, universe, you've done it right. Good for you. Universe, you're not quite doing it right. Shame on you. So, creates another reality. A reality that we've all been conditioned to follow. And yet, where's the complete happiness? Because the only place that we can find the happiness is within. And we don't know as a culture how to do that. We're learning. Other nations, other countries know it. They were raised with it. So we have a choice to learn how to live in the present moment and to see for ourselves the difference. And this is really crucial. It's a great impact. What's the difference once we begin to practice what's the difference in living through the mind and living through the body, the whole body awareness? You see, it's clear. It's very clear. But again, we have to know how to be quiet and still and settle ourselves down where we're not so distracted. And that's not easy, as you well know. So we find ourselves in the best of times, too, because we are waking up. Randy and I have had the pleasure of watching this mindfulness movement from Spirit Rock and IMS for over 40 years, how at that particular time there are no books, very few translations of the ancient teachings, and none of our teachers had written the beautiful books relative on a Western Buddhist subject. So things are changing. But we find ourselves, now we've got two wars. And if that's not enough, we've got a little push, a little scary push about our democracy. It's scary times. I don't have to tell you that. You know it. And so our democracy at least says each one of us is worthwhile. So that's encouraging, along with all the other things that an elected government has to offer. So each one of us is worthwhile. I've never been really a flag waver because I was a hippie, you know. But I never experienced feeling so unsafe in my country. And unsafe because of mind states. And mind states are exactly what we study here. Takes a while, but that's what we find out about ourselves. What if we know this mind is temporary and it's not particularly wise? Where do we find our guidance? And that's found within us. But then you say, well, how do you get to it? That's what I said. How do you get to it? Well, you're practicing a practice that's been tried and true. It's simple, but it's not easy. Because the first thing we have to learn to do is be quiet and still. Where everything has settled. Where we are privy to information that we're not privy to in our overactivity. If I sat still for very long, I fell asleep. And I certainly did that in the beginning of my meditation. It took me years train the body not to go to sleep, because that's all it knew. You get still, you go to sleep. So I've slept through many times. So don't worry about that. That is, again, we're adjusting to pointing ourselves in a different direction. It's radical. It is radical. And so we are divided in the most unsettling ways because we've forgotten we're all human beings before we are anything else. But I'm experiencing what I'm sure many of you are experiencing. When we get into this us and them, it's hell. We're living in a hell realm with that much division. So we want to live in a place, we all do, that serves all people. But it's not going to happen. If you haven't figured that out yet, it's just not going to happen. But what has happened is that we have an opportunity through our practice to find a way to live with all of it. What do you mean? Good, bad, and ugly? Absolutely. No, I don't want the bad. I don't want the ugly. We don't have a choice. It's our own ignorance that where we don't know what to do with the stress, with the emotions, with the crazy mind. And lots of times we don't have choices. And the reason we don't have choices is because we're letting the mind tell us, along with our conditioning, we're just reacting through habits. And, you know, we have kind hearts. I can't tell you how many times I've said to myself, now, what did you say such a snitty thing? What a snitty thing for you to say. And you call yourself a meditation teacher. But I'm also a human being. So I live in the world. And I'm beginning to touch. It's not. It's something we've all touched. A spaciousness of who we really are. But it takes right effort. We're finding a different way, a different perspective, a different openness that we've not been privy to. And it brings more understanding and balance to all the things that are breaking our hearts into. As Jack says, there's space for that. There's a way to hold the bad and the ugly. But it's going to take us a shift. It's going to take a shift in how we are perceiving life. Turns it upside down. And so meditation, once we establish ourselves as practice, is helps us with the tyranny of ignorance, of our ignorance, of our conditioning that we are don't know how to make a choice. We just do it the same way. We're predictable. We're actually AIs. Because with the cause and effect and the conditioning, we can figure out how each one of us is going to react if we don't have an understanding of what conditioning behaviors keep us in the same old, same old. Same old, same old. And you say, oh, this is a behavior mod class, huh? No, what happens is you begin to see yourself clearly, intimately, and honestly. And there's no striving. It's just automatic. It's the universe opening up to all of us. So we get a lot of support. I can't describe it, but I have felt it for over 40 years. Why? Because it's the truth. Have we forgotten about the truth? Yes, we have. Do we think the truth is valuable? And so, think about the last time we were lost in emotions. Last time we were harshly unforgiving. Or the last time we felt trapped. The craving was so much that I couldn't help myself. I see that daily with my relationship with chocolate. So I get a little preview of what that's like. But I notice it. Oh, that's craving. What does craving feel like? What is life without craving? And so those are the things we begin to find out about ourselves. It's very intimate, and it's very, your path is unlike anybody else's path. And the Buddha says, don't believe what I say. He said, don't believe what she says. Trust yourself. And he was a man. He was a human being. That's all he's ever claimed to be. But look what he left. A legacy. So, we learn how to be quiet and still, and we begin with an openness and a perspective that anything is possible. That's such a relief right there. I mean, what our minds do quite naturally, it's not a villain, is it identifies everything. It has to have a solution. It analyzes. It does a lot of wonderful things for us, but it's not wise. So we're not listening to ourselves, because what's within, what we touch within, that spaciousness is who actually we are. And so living through that perspective, things shift. Things shift. We get closer. Closer to what? We get closer to ourselves. We don't know ourselves. We're not taking good care of ourselves. So we need to know ourselves, because the prerequisite is we got to be kind and love ourselves. And you say, holy moly, I can't love myself. Yeah, you can. Because once you get in touch to your true nature, you'll be honored to have this body. You'll be honored to have this life. You'll be honored to have this practice. Because we become a universal being instead of a whatever we want to identify with. And all our identifications, we know what that does. It just separates. And that's what the mind's real good about doing, is separating. Separate, separate, separate. But the heart doesn't. The heart tells us the truth, that we are all connected in the most precious way. We live as human beings in a world that is unpredictable every second. We know that. And then what happens with the right effort and the right practice, it's not the only practice, is we begin to know how to listen to ourselves and trust ourselves. And that can be done peace. There's no way. There will be no peace unless it's within. That's the only place one will find peace. So can't you kind of see what the world needs now? Anybody else want to sing it? the truth hadn't changed. But we have. We've been stuck. And I'm talking to myself. So that perspective of we're all connected, we're all human beings, and then the other world we live in is what we touch when we meditate, or we're with our children, or we're watching a sunset, or anything that kind of triggers us into that spaciousness of, oh my goodness, I'm bigger than. I am bigger than bigger. No, I'm bigger than bigger than bigger. And so that spaciousness allows us to have more control. Because we're going to listen to our mind, because we're going to learn how to listen to our mind, but we're not going to be led back. We're going to use the mind when it's useful, and it is useful. But we're going to listen to ourselves and to our hearts, because we're going to get real, real close to who we really are. And we're all of it, every bit of it. Sounds like sci-fi, doesn't it? But this is something we all have to find out for ourselves. And it's not easy. I know it's not easy. So, moving right along. One of the things, and I want to mention this before I end, is that one of the things that we learn here is how to view thoughts, how to view what's happening, how to view emotions. And it comes from knowing ourselves. Living in the present moment. At any time, we can assess what's actually going on. within. And if it's going on within and we know it, we've got a choice. And so we use the acronym RAIN. We begin to start recognizing what's actually happening in any given moment. Not the past or not the future, but the magic is in the present moment. So we recognize it, we're allowing it, and usually at the beginning or even now, recognizing and allowing it is almost enough, can be enough at times. But the other part of RAIN is we start investigating it. We start inquiring. We get interested in ourselves on a level that we've never been interested. And the interest builds. Oh my, isn't that interesting? Because we stop identifying so much as a woman or a man or an American. We start actually experiencing the connection that we're human beings. That's who we really are. I'm sorry, we're not really human beings, because guess what? It has an end. The end. So we know that the mind and the body's in time. So what's next? How do we leave this body? And this is another thing that the practice has taught me. Now, I don't know that, of course, and I hope I'm hidden away when the process starts. But I'm bigger, you know, I'm more spacious. I'm not just Randy's wife. I'm not just a meditation teacher, you know. I'm all of it, and we begin to feel that and know that on a level that the mind cannot touch. Can't go there with the mind. Can't do it. Don't throw it out. So in January of this year, like all other Januaries, I don't know for how long, I'll be teaching the fundamentals of meditation. Starts the first on January, whenever the first Monday is. And it takes a while to go through the fundamentals. And how many times, Randy, have we been through the fundamentals? More times than we can count, just about. So it's not a waste of time if you say, oh, wait a minute, I paid big bucks, because you will. I paid big bucks to learn how to meditate. Well, this is free, okay? And if you stay with it, you'll have what you need to sustain your practice, because there's a lot to learn. A lot to learn. But it's beautiful on the way, I might say. So I am out of time, and so I invite you anytime, but put us on your calendar for January. I don't know how long it'll take us, how long it's taken us in the past, but it's a wonderful way to do it right, to learn how to do it right. And we know to do that with teachers who know how to teach it is very expensive, as I understand. So Randy and I offer it, and have for years. So you don't want to miss that opportunity. And invite your friends too. Okay, so with that, I'm going to stop. And then we're going to ask Randy to come on over here, Randy Lee, and we're going to open it up to you. Any questions, comments, anything you want to say is fine.